Everybody, welcome to 2 of the 1st. It's September 18th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballinger. It's good to have you with us. We'll talk about a couple different things today. We're going to talk about the BMW PGA Championship, a little Ryder Cup, a little Fortinet Championship / PGA Tour Fall in our two stories today. Big week ahead. We're heading to Spain for the Solheim Cup. That flight is Wednesday afternoon U.S. East Coast time. Gets there Thursday morning Spain time, plus 6 hours from the U.S. Eastern time zone. Be there until Sunday morning. Then we're going to, my wife and I are going on this trip, going to Germany to go to Oktoberfest in Munich for a couple of days. Then we'll make our way down back toward Rome and Marco Simoni for the Ryder Cup in Rome. Heading back. Unfortunately, the way it's all going to kind of work out, we're going to miss single Sunday, but heading back that Sunday just because there's lots of stuff going on in the world with our kids. So, but it'll be an incredible trip. Really looking forward to it. Document a lot of it on social media. If you want to follow me and follow the trip, be on X/Twitter at Ryan Ballinger. Same handle on Instagram and Threads at Ryan Ballinger, RyanBallengee. If you want to check all that out. We are presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25, GolfNewsNet25, to get 25% off of your first order, which is very exciting. They have great hoodies for this time of year. We're starting to get cooler weather. It's finally getting cool here in the D.C. area, which is very exciting after a very warm summer. And the Swannies hoodies are just going to be great all fall long. And if you'd like to check more of their apparel out, swannies.co, wearing one of the polos, actually, as I'm recording this. They get lots of compliments about the shirts. Many of them are made from Reprieve fabric, which is recycled fabric. It's a very earth-friendly, also just in general, really good look, just good aesthetic. So swannies.co, check them out at a reasonable price as well, not $150 per shirt, which is ideal. Anyhow, today on the show, we have two stories. Three stories. We'll start with Sergio Garcia and the Ryder Cup, because this is an interesting story, and I'm sort of surprised that it worked out this way, but very strange. So, Sergio Garcia has been adamant about playing in the Ryder Cup. Like, he wants to play in the Ryder Cup, thinks he should be able to play in the Ryder Cup, thinks he should have a spot on the team. His name has come up repeatedly. Luke Donald brought him up recently, and it was a DP World Tour event, and Luke Donald said, you know, Sergio understands why he's not on the team, why he can't play. And yet still, apparently, the 43-year-old did not kind of take that lying down and go, okay, well, we can't be in the Ryder Cup, so let's just move on with life. Instead, he chose to try to pursue a last-ditch effort to get into the Ryder Cup. So, James Corrigan of The Telegraph, who has really nailed a lot of stuff on the LIV Golf things. I mean, he hasn't done as much this year because the defections really aren't what they are. But he has been all over the story for the last year and a half. And I think still has some good relationships with some of these players that left the DP World Tour and went to LIV. And he published this article on Sunday that claimed that Garcia went to the DP World Tour and Ryder Cup Europe and said, I will pay all the fines that I supposedly owe that have been levied against me by the DP World Tour. So somewhere in the area of £700,000. And if I do that, then would I be eligible for membership and to be on the European team that could play at Marco Simoni? And the DP World Tour official said, no, you can't do that. Because the one thing that is not... Sergio Garcia is not a DP World Tour member anymore. He resigned it. And he was part of the group of players that resigned their membership when these fines started coming about. And said, okay, well, if you want us to go, then we'll just go. We won't be members anymore because we don't want to keep getting fined $100,000 a pop for being a LIV player and a DP World Tour member, because they were just going to keep doing it. That wasn't going to change. So Garcia is not a DP World Tour member, not a European Tour group member. which is a prerequisite to being on the European Ryder Cup team. You have to keep and maintain DP World Tour membership. That is the first and most important caveat of all of this. And since he has resigned it, he would have to apply, get it back, pay the fine, and that all of those things the DP World Tour said would take way too long, and he wouldn't get his membership in time to be named on the team, because the team's been named, right? The team's been out there for a couple weeks. So apparently this was made, I guess, at some point just before the whole thing happened, the final captain's picks were named, because the Europeans went second, and they did it after the event in Switzerland, the Omega European Masters, where Ludwig Åberg won, and then obviously he got on the team. He was probably going to be on the team regardless, but he definitely earned a spot on the team because of that win. And meanwhile, you've got Garcia sitting over here going, well, I still think I'm good enough to be on the Ryder Cup team, which I find absolutely hilarious. And I apologize for the clicking sound here, but I'm going to LIV Golf's website so you can get an idea of what Sergio Garcia has done this year. If you look at his standings for the year, so he's played 11 out of 11 events because you're contractually required on LIV. They're playing their 12th this week just outside Chicago. He has earned on their point scale 62 points, whatever that means, and he is 17th in the LIV golf standings in a league where really there's like five really good players, maybe six, and everything else is kind of, not so great. So if you look at what he has done event-wise, you look at his finish, he has exactly two top tens this year. He was runner-up in Singapore, and that was a Taylor Gooch win, I believe, his second in a row. And then he was ninth in Tucson, which was the second event of the year. Other than that, he has not been inside the top 10. He had an 11th in Andalusia, which is at Valderrama. That kind of makes sense. And then he was 12th at Greenbrier, which good final round propelled him to a decent finish. But his team, the Fireballs, if that wants to be your metric, you know, team golf matters, okay, well, take it for what it's worth. His team won in Tucson and came in second in Singapore. And after that, they haven't been inside the top four. 9, 6, 9, 6, 8, 5, 8. Not good. So I don't understand the request. Like, you haven't played well on a tour where there's not much depth. And your team's not any good relative to the team competitions. But you want to be at 43 years old, after getting summarily spanked around in 2021 on the Ryder Cup team for Europe. That, to me, takes some gall. That takes some serious gall. And then to go, oh, well, if you let me back on, I'll pay you the £700,000. Now, he's otherwise not going to do that, I assume. So, that just strikes me as crazy. I can't imagine saying that to the DP World Tour and going, you know what? I think that's what we're going to go with. It doesn't add up. I don't understand coming around to that position and then going, oh, well, you know, I should be on the team if I pay the £700,000 because I'm Sergio Garcia. And I've been great in the Ryder Cup. Surely you'll let me on. I just don't understand that. And by the way, one of the last times we saw Sergio Garcia on the DP World Tour was at the BMW PGA Championship last year. And that's because they've had the injunction thing going until the hearing was done, the arbitration hearing was done. And then, obviously, the LIV players wound up losing. The DP World Tour group wound up winning. And they could sanction players. They brought about the fines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in that tournament, that was the week Queen Elizabeth died. And I believe that was Thursday when that happened. and the tournament was reduced to 54 holes. Well, Garcia withdrew after first round 76. They didn't play Friday. And then just flew home and was on the sideline of the University Texas-Alabama football game that Saturday. He was there. It wasn't injured. He just withdrew because he didn't feel like dealing with it. And so he just went home, which, I mean, players do that. But it's a really bad look for a guy that then comes back and says, well, you know, I've supported this tour and I deserve to be on the Ryder Cup team and blah, 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 blah. That's just heinous. I mean, I don't understand that whatsoever. And, I thought that was very interesting. And there may have been other players who have tried to do this. I mean, this is just what James Corrigan's got. I don't know that one way or the other. I'm sure James Corrigan probably has an idea, and he probably would have written about it if there were others. But it just doesn't... it's time to move on. Like, it's just time to move on. And I understand that, you know, that these guys have long-standing connection to the Ryder Cup, that Sergio has been a part of it basically 25 years. And he's been a formidable, very formidable opponent to the Americans. He is the all-time leading scorer in the European Ryder Cup points list at 28.5 points. Been to 10 Ryder Cups. He was one of the few decent players in 2021 with John Rahm. You might say it was John Rahm that was the reason. But nevertheless, it just... that just feels like a weird thing to do. And I'm glad that the European Tour said, look, this just isn't going to work out. Like, you can't just say, oh, I want to be a member again, and I'll pay the fine, and you put me on the team. Because then, what about all the guys that worked really hard under the rules to be able to qualify? And I think I've talked about this for the better part of 2 years, that the European side needed an opportunity to reset. That a bunch of the guys that went to live, those were Ryder Cup stalwarts for the last 20, 25 years. And they're nearing the end of their competitive relevance as singles players. And it showed in the team competition really for the first time. Now, it was a strange set of circumstances because you couldn't really have European fans unless you were already in this country. Travel was weird. Attendance was weird. But not that weird, to the point that it could be discounted. Maybe a couple points, I don't know. But still, that's bad. That's a big loss, regardless. Whether it's 19-9 or 17-11, those are big losses. So, the reset conversation was trying to be sidetracked by some of these players, not all of them, just some of them, in public, because they just say, oh, well, you're taking us away because we went to live. But if they had stayed on the DP World Tour, I think you could have still had the same conversation. It might have been a little harsher, but and maybe these guys would have had, some of them would have had a chance to make the team. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. So all of this just seems strange and weird to me, but an interesting story and a little bit of a side story before we go into the Ryder Cup in a couple of weeks. Want to take a little bit of a transition to something that's also strange. We love strange stuff on this show, of course. And we had the kickoff to the FedEx Cup fall this past weekend. The BMW PGA Championship, that was the big event of the week. Ryan Fox won, biggest win of his career. Congratulations to him. Always good to see a fellow fast-playing, slightly larger, well, he's slightly larger, I'm larger, human being named Ryan doing well in golf. And then back across the pond over on the West Coast in Napa, you had the Fortinet, I always say Fortinet, Fortinet is really what it is, championship. And Max Homa, two-time defending champion, Sahith Theegala winds up winning by a deuce. He bogeyed the last hole. He was up four. I mean, he could go into the final hole. So he could pretty much do what he wanted. And he did what he wanted. He won his first PGA Tour event. It was a great story. Really cool. But pre-tournament, I think it was pre-tournament, there was a little bit of a hubbub about basically what all the fall is, what it means, why it's here, why are we doing this, all this type of stuff. And there was an explanation that we gave and the tour's given, and a lot of players have known this was going, this change was coming. They've known about it for more than a year, more like 16 or 17 months, that whatever idea that they had before of saving your card by getting in the top 125 and getting into the playoffs was going to change. And then ultimately evolved to the playoffs are no longer the top 125. The playoffs are the top 70. And that was, I think, a very needed improvement to the concept of the playoffs. And that after the playoffs, we were going to determine the top 125 by the fall. Instead of starting a new season, we were going to end it. And apparently Jimmy Walker did not get the memo about this or is not a fan of it. And he did not mess around in speaking to Golf Week. It was on Saturday. So after the third round, he's having a decent week, so gets a little time, and he decides he is not pleased. So he says to Golf Week, quote, "They," meaning the tour, "changed the rules. It's been 125 forever. Then it's like, no, it's 50, or is it 70? It's definitely not 125. It's total bullshit. That's what I think of it. I've been working for 11 months to finish 124, and it's like, nope, keep playing. So I'm going to give it all I've got. That's all I can do," end quote. And Jimmy Walker's had a nice comeback this year. He had a couple of events where he threatened to win, most notably at Harbortown, which was a big story, I thought, for it being a signature event, a designated event, and ultimately didn't get the job done, but really had to work hard to get to 124th in the FedEx Cup standing. So under the old system, he would have qualified for the playoffs. He would have had his PGA Tour card. He'd be ready to go. But that's not the case anymore, because you qualify for the playoffs, you get into every regular season event that's non-major, non-signature next year. Basically, you get your card, and you don't have to worry about the fall. You could take the fall off if you wish. You don't have to, but you can. And the players 71st and beyond on the list have to then fight to get into the top 125 through the fall season, the FedEx Cup Falls, they're calling it. And again, I don't think that's bullshit. It worked the other way when the season began with the fall. And it kind of works now for the top players, right? You go, hey, you had a great year. Just take the fall off. You're good. Because the top 50 players get into every single signature event. The top 70 gets into every regular event. And the top 30 gets into everything. You get in all the majors, you get in all the signature events, and you get into all the regular events. You pick your schedule. So there are carrots to all of those things. Now in the FedEx Cup fall, you've got the top 10 players. So players who would be 61st through 70th in the hypothetical FedEx Cup points list. So the top 10 players after the top 50 get into the first two mainland United States signature events. Pebble, Riviera. So there's something to play for those higher ranked players, but everyone else is pretty much just fighting for a PGA Tour card. So if you win, you probably got a really good chance of getting into one of these events next year. So if you this is just to do this exercise. So, Sahith Theegala wins. He's already one of the players in the top 50. So, he's in every event. He doesn't get the 500 FedEx Cup fall points. He doesn't need them. But SH Kim, who finished second, does need those points, did get those points. So, he moved from 83rd to 57th. Well, at the moment, that means he would be in the first two signature events on the mainland United States next year, because the Century is considered one, but it has its own criteria, and you can't get into that. So there is some value here. He already finds himself in a better position. JJ Spahn was 62nd, finished tied for 11th, went from 62nd to 60th. So now he currently would be in. If you want to look at Jimmy Walker, he finished tied for 30th. He shot 73 on Sunday and dropped down 12 spots on the leaderboard, but still he moved up three places from 124th to 121st. So he benefits a little bit here because now his position is actually a little bit better. Now he's still got to play six more tournaments, right? So anything can happen. That's a pretty precarious spot to find yourself. But if he can have really one more good tournament, he's locked up his card and some pretty decent status. I don't understand why now's the time to complain about the format. Just because you were 124th and that's what, you know, you think, okay, well, I should have my card by now. I shouldn't even have to worry about this. I just find that, again, very strange timing. And you go like, and Walker's 44, Sergio's 43. Maybe this is just something that happens in your 40s. God, I hope that's not the case, because I just turned 40 this year. But to go through this whole exercise and go, okay, you've been like a board member, you've won a major, you know the stuff that's going on, and yet, here we go, I'm just going to complain about all of it, because it doesn't benefit me, or it might not benefit me. And Walker went on to say, and I'll round out the show with this longer quote to Golf Week. Quote, I can't tell you how many people texted me saying congrats on making the 125. I'm like, no, man, it's different. I had to explain. They've done such a bad job communicating what is happening. I kind of agree with that. Partly because I don't think they knew what was happening, honestly. Also agree with that. It's been one way forever. Liv and the Saudis happen, and a lot of things change. Everybody freaks out, and we sign an agreement that stops litigation. I don't know what's going on. They talked about a big payout for the players that have stayed. All of it is blowing my mind. The tour is doing everything they can to take care of themselves and not for the players. I'm just out here grinding, giving it all I've got. I've given them 20-some-odd years out here, you know. And very, very interesting that Walker then went and said, you know, I wanted Jay Monahan out here to talk about everything, to talk everything through. And really, I mean, I had to kind of find out through the PGA Tour's website on an article about what actually is happening. I mean, I kind of had an idea just based on what you kind of, how the PGA Tour works and how you kind of surmised they were going to do things. And it turned out it was pretty much exactly it. But that doesn't mean the communication was bad or good. I don't know what the players get. I mean, obviously, Walker saying he's not getting anything, and they didn't really know what was going on. And I do agree that the tour did not do a very good job of explaining all of this to anybody. I mean, they just kind of unveiled it last week, and were like, all right, here's what it is. So I get that point of view of it. But this has been out there that the 125 concept of qualifying for the playoffs is dead. So you're going to find the 125 another way. And if you put two and two together, you go, okay, well, that's the fall. What the format of that was, how who got the points, how that was to be determined, was TBD. But turned out it was just doing it the way they do it. So, not tricky. Anyhow, a little insight into a couple of guys at very similar stages of their career, looking for maybe some sympathy, maybe a little bit of handout, I don't know. But very interesting times. All right, tomorrow we'll be back with another show on 2 at the First. We'll talk a little bit about Solheim Cup, preparation for that. Talk a little bit about what we've got on the DP World Tour this week and the French Open. There is a LIV event this week. I don't really care, but apparently Golf Digest is getting an ad buy from the Saudis about that, so that's exciting for them. If you catch us as a podcast, and you can do so, leave us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. If you've got a question, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. As I mentioned before, top of the show, I'm on pretty much every social media service. The handle, Ryan Ballingy, Golf News Net, as well, is a handle to catch all of our Golf News Net stuff. And, yeah, it's going to be a big week. So, thank you for your support. Thanks for your time. If there's anything you want to look at or covered or talked about on the show, or from the Solheim Cup or Ryder Cup, let me know. I'm happy to try to dig in as best possible and make it a big week for everybody. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you tomorrow on 2 off the First.